Okay, we're going to start the top of Chaf Amud Aleph. Here the Gemara was discussing the machloket between Rabbi and Rabbi Elazar by Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi, who believes that Kiddush Yadav Raglav Bayom ain't Tzarech L'Kadesh Balayla, but the other way around, Balayla Tzarech L'Kadesh Bayom. So Rabbi says that the Kiddush Yadav Raglav expires at dawn in the morning, that has a din, Yadayim V'Raglayim have a din in Lina. So if they pass through a Lot HaShachar, it requires a new washing. But on the other hand, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon believes, Ein Lina Mo'elot B'Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. As long as one is within the confines of the Mikdash, we'll see, doesn't have Hesach Hadat, then his Yadayim remain washed and fine to do Avodah, until either he has Hesach Hadat or until he leaves the Mikdash. But Alot HaShachar will have no impact, and Lina will have no impact. So that's what we were discussing in the Gemara until this point in time. And now the Gemara is going to continue along with that Sugya. Ki ato Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan Ba Yilfa. The Divrei Omer, Ein Lina Mo'elot B'Kiddush Yadayim Ragalayim. According to the one who says that Lina does not have impact on Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, that would be the position of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, make your mahush ifsalu. What's the din of the water inside of the kior itself? Mi amrinan hani lamai, the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. So what is the purpose of this water that's inside of the kior? That is to perform Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim gufayu lo pasil behu. So when it comes to the Yadayim themselves, that they're not pasul, lo pasul behu lino. Oh, dilma kevin, de kadosh lo bekli sharet mifsale. Or maybe because they're a kadosh and kli sharet, they will be kadosh. So what is the status of the water in the kior? Does the water of the kior follow the purpose of the water in the kior? Purpose of the water in the kior is to wash Yadayim Raglayim. When it comes to Yadayim Raglayim, there is no lino. So the same thing will apply here when it comes to the main kior. There will be no din of lino. Or the other possibility is that no, that here it's something different. We're dealing with water that's sitting or stagnant in the kli sharet, and that's the problem. Whereas when it comes to Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, there's actually a slight nuanced difference here, which is, as Rashi points out, kli sharet ifsalu, the lo domi the Kiddush Yadayim, shamayim nigvu, vein lina ami l'cho. When it comes to Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, the water that was poured on the hands and legs has since evaporated, dissipated. It's not there anymore. So on what do you want the lina to be chal? So when it comes to the Yadayim Raglayim, that's what Rabbi Elazar Shimon says. The water's gone. There is no lina. So therefore, the Yadayim Raglayim are fine. But maybe when it comes to the Mei Kiyor, the water inside the Kli Sharet is still there when dawn breaks. So when dawn breaks, maybe there's a din of lina because the water is right in front of us. So Gemara says, Kiyata Ravin, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So before it was Rabbi Dimi who brought in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Now we have Ravin coming. And says the name, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Hodor Poshit Ilfa. So then Ilfa afterwards, after posing the question, he did respond to it. Kemachloket bizu, kach machloket bizu. The same machloket that exists on the Yadayim Raglayim themselves, whether there's such a din as lina, there's so too, there's a machloket about the water inside of the kior. Does the water inside of the kior have a din of lina or not? According to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, no din of lina. According to Rabbi, there will be a din of lina with regards to the water inside of the kli sharet. So, Amar Lafonov, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisno. So, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisno posed the question, Rabbi, Atau Merkain? Rabbi, you really said this, and he's saying this to Rabbi Yirmiya. Ela hocha hachi amar Rabbi Ami. I think the gears are changing in the Bach is Rabbi Ami. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Mishum Ilfa. This is what Rabbi Ami, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, says in the name of Ilfa. Kior shalosh shak'o mi be'erev mikadesh memenu labadat laila. The kior that was not redeposited down below, then you can use that water all night to wash from it. But in the morning you can't use it for Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. What's the reason that you can't do the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim from it the next morning? Is the reason that you don't do Kiddush from it is just the practical reason, which is that if the person washed at night, he's not going to need to wash in the morning, and that's it. It's just a practical issue. Odilma, ifsalu belina. Or maybe the problem is that the water now is no longer usable for Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim because it was left over past the Lot HaShachar. Velo poshidlon. And we had no response, there was no answer to it. Umar ka poshidle mifshat. And you have all of a sudden have an answer to the question? I mean that we have a statement from Rabbi Dimi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ilfa had a question. Then we have Rabin coming and saying in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah, that he has an answer to Ilfa's question, and that Ilfa had the conclusion that Machlok Bezu, Kach Machlok Bezu. Rev Yitzchak Bar Bisna challenges it. It sounds like when he says Rebbe, he's either speaking to Ravin or Rabbi Yirmiyah. It sounds more like he's speaking to Rabbi Yirmiyah over here. So when he speaks to Rabbi Yirmiyah, he says to him, wait a minute, we have a Masorah from Amrabi Ami, Amrab Yochanan, in the name of Ilfa, that Ilfa has this question about the statement about the Kiyor. The Kiyor, if you remember, the Kiyor had the Mukhni in it, which you're going to see in a second, that they used to allow it. It was some sort of pulley system, a gear and pulley system, that allowed the water to be redeposited below in the Mayan, in the flowing water, so they would not be possible enough. But here, if they kept the water up above at night, then the good to wash from it that night, but the next morning, no good to wash from it. And Ilfa poses the question, he doesn't know why. Well, if he knows that the machlokas is gambazu, he would know the answer to his question. He would say, just like it would be a question of Rabbi or Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Shimon. But the fact that he doesn't, he leaves it as an unknown, shows that Ilfa still has the question, and he has not been pushed, he has not concluded about what the din is with regards to the mekior. Etashma, ben katin asah shnimasar doad lekior. He made 12 taps for the kior. And the 12 taps were to enable the 12 kohanim that were asuk or going to be osik by the karbon tamid shel shachar to wash simultaneously, so they could all wash at once. And in addition to that, afu asam muchni lekior, he also made this gear pulley system for the kior shelo yehi memav nifsalim belina, that its waters would not become pasul belina. Well, the obvious conclusion from this is that had the water been left without this mukhni, it would be pasul belina. But that may not answer our question over here, because we know that it's a machlokas Rabbi and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. We only have a question according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi, who says that the yadayim raglaim are pasul belina, then certainly the kior, the make kior, is pasul belina. Our question is according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. So we don't know, based on this Mishnah, who says this Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. This might only be a conclusion for Rabbi. So now the Gemara says, my love, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon he. Okay, let's say that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon is the author of that statement in the Mishnah. It says, lo, Rabbi he. It's Rabbi's the author of the statement, so we can't prove anything to regards to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Ami, Dereisha, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Seifa Nami, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Well, the first part of this Mishnah is clearly Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. So to the Seifa, this aspect of it, Ben Katin, should also be authored by Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Diktani Reisha, what's the case of the Reisha that we know is like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon? Baalo Eitzel Paro, stuck him with the coin of Gadol, who's going over to his par. And he did the vidui on the par, and now he's going to shech the par. Upar hayomeid, where is this par standing that he's going to do the shechita on? It's bein ulam la mizbeach. It's sitting between the ulam and the mizbeach. Now remember, if we're talking about something that is kodshei kodashim, something that is kodshei kodashim requires being the tzafon, yerach tzafon l'shel mizbeach. It has to be on the northern side of the mizbeach. So there is a 3 mile machlokas as to where the northern side of the mizbeach is that permits you to shech a korban that is kodshei kodashim. So over here now, the Gemara says, how do we know who it is? It says, Omeid ben olam and mizbeach. So it's standing between the olam and mizbeach. Rosho l'darom, the head of the par faces south. Upanav l'ma'arav, and his face is towards the west. Now, why do they do this? They have to stand the animal up. You can see in the first picture here, there's a requirement that they want to put the animal, they're shechting the animal on the northern side of the mizbeach. You have two options. The kohen is going to come and do smicha, and he does have shechita. The kohen is going to be standing in such a way, or in such a manner, as that he's going to be facing the kodesh kodashim, he's going to be facing west. So the animal has to be west of the kohen himself. The kohen though will be in the east, and the animal will be west of him. Now, how are you going to face the animal? What are your choices here? You need the head near the kohen. So either the head can be facing the kohen himself, which means that the animal is facing east, and that means that its back is towards the kodesh kodashim. What are we afraid of? We're afraid of that he's going to defecate over there. He's going to have a little accident. He's going to be facing the kodesh kodashim. It's not appropriate. So what are you going to do? All right, so we'll turn it. So now it faces 90 degrees, and it faces out towards the north. Well, if it faces out to the north, what are we afraid of? The same problem is going to defecate it, and it's going to be towards the mizbeach. So you don't want that. So how do we set up the animal? When his head is facing towards the southern side, which is towards the mizbeach, and the back is towards the northern side, which now will not face the mizbeach at all. Therefore, if it defecates, it's not facing the mizbeach and not facing the kodesh kodashim. Its head, they turn its head. So its head faces Ma'arav towards the Kodshei Kodashim. So the animal itself is north-south, with its head towards the south side, facing the Mizbeach, nor at the back end, towards the northern side, away from the Mizbeach. But they twisted its head to face Ma'arav towards the Kodshei Kodashim. The Kohen Gadol was standing behind him, behind the animal, meaning east of the animal, and therefore he does the Shechita, and he does the Smicha facing the Kodshei Kodashim. So that's the setup over here. So now, the Gemara is going to bring the proof now. Man Shmaitlei, who was the one that tells us, the Amar ben Ulam l'Mizbeach Tzafon, that between the Ulam and the Mizbeach is classified as being north for Shechting Kodshei Kodashim. The author of that opinion is Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon. D'tanya, we have a Braisa, Ezehu Tzafon. Tell me, what's called north in terms of Shechting an animal to be kosher? Kodshei Kodashim, again, required to be on north of Mizbeach, Ayerch HaMizbeach Tzafona, to be on the northern side of the Mizbeach. So what is called north? So the first opinion is, Mikir HaMizbeach Tzafoni Vad Kotel HaZara. From the northern side of the Mizbeach until the Kotel HaZara on the northern side, Ukeneged Kol HaMizbeach, parallel to the Mizbeach itself, Kulo Tzafon. That's all called Tzafon. Divrei Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yudas. That's the first picture you have. That only Keneged the Mizbeach itself. Only directly connected to the Mizbeach is classified as north. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, who is we're interested in here, Mosif. He adds on the additional space, Af ben ulam the Mizbeach. So that's in the second picture that I have for you here that I sent out to you. Here in the second picture, you have not only parallel to the Mizbeach, but even the space that sits between the Mizbeach and the ulam itself. So that area will be classified as north, according to Rabbi Elazar be Rabbi Shimon. So now if you say that Rabbi Elazar be Rabbi Shimon, the author of this position, that north is even between Ben Olam and Mizbeach, you can understand why in that previous mission that we brought from Yoma, that Balitz of Paro and the Par is standing Ben Olam and Mizbeach, who is the author of that position? The author of that position is Rabbi Elazar be Rabbi Shimon, because he's the one who permits it to be in the north. And we have a third opinion, which is that the opinion of Rabbi. And Rabbi's opinion is, Rabbi Mosif, Af makom drisat raglei kohanim or makom drisat raglei Yisrael. So that's the third picture you have. The makom drisat Yisrael or makom drisat kohanim are the first 22 amot between the Shar Niknor, the entrance into the Azara, till the Mizbeach. They're actually 22 amot. The first 11 amot are classified as makom drisat Yisrael. That was the area into which a Yisrael was permitted to enter for purpose. Beyond that, so it's called Makom Jisad the Kohanim, is the area that the Kohanim were able to enter. And that is another 11 Amot. As to what the exact grade of those were is actually subject to Machlokas, that's the Mishnayot and Midot, about whether there was actually elevation between them or there's a difference between them. But those are the 22 Amot. So what Rabbi says, if you look at the picture, is Rabbi includes north. North of Mizbeach is the entire area that is north of Mizbeach, between the Ulam and the wall of the Azara. All of that area is covered or classified as being north of the Mizbeach. The only exception, and this is what it says, Divrei HaKol, Aval, Min HaChalifot, V'lifnim, HaKol Modim Shepasul. So that's in picture number four. If you look in picture number four, the Beit HaChalifot was actually found inside of the Ulam. And the Beit HaChalifot is found in the Ulam towards the extended area that extends beyond the area of the Heichal. Look at the picture, you can see that the Heichal area, and then the outside area of the Heichal included Ta'im. There were small rooms there as well as the walls of the Heichal. In the area that extended beyond that, in the Ulam, was a place called the Beit HaChalifot. Beit HaChalifot was known, what we know today, as a Chalif. What's a Chalif? A Chalif is a Shechita knife. So exactly. So Rashi brings down that it was called Chalif in Aravi, it's called a knife. That's where they were matznin, their shechita knives. That's where the Kohanim kept their shechita knives. It says there were 24 chalonot, 24 lockers that went into that area of the Beit HaChalifot, where each of the mishmarot kept their knives for the shechita. That is called the Beit HaChalifot. So what the Braita says is that from the Beit HaChalifot onward, lifnim, towards the west, none of that area, even though it's north of the Mizbeach, none of that area qualifies to be kosher for shechting Kodshei Kodashim. Now, even though when it comes to Kodshei Kalim, you could shech them there. That's still classified as Azara, and you could shech them there. But as far as Kodshei Kodashim, you cannot shech them there because you're unable to see the Mizbeach from there. And the requirement of being Avyarach Tzfona Shel Mizbeach on the northern side of the Mizbeach requires that you actually see the northern side of Mizbeach. So therefore, from the Ulam out to the Ma'arav, that area, which is in the north, but to the west, that area, according to everybody, is no good for Shechting Kodshei Kodashim. I expected someone to answer me the question, well, wait a minute, it's true that you can't see, but on a certain angles, you can't see from here the Mizbeach. So what's this? So I double checked in Rashi and Yom and other places to make sure he didn't mean just from the Beit HaChalifah, not the wall of the Ulam, but it means literally from the wall of the Ulam outward. My assumption here is that they use an objective line. That true, from one little piece here, a section there, you could see the Mizbeach, and maybe it would have been kosher from there. But if you're going to give an objective line, the best way to do is cut it off at the Ulam, because otherwise you're going to have to guess where the line is that they cross over, don't cross over. If you use the wall of the Ulam, there's no guesswork. You know that that's the area beyond which it is. Is Pasul. Based on this, the Gemara wants to say, okay, who's the author of the opinion in our, on the Mishnah in Yoma that says that the Pyre of the Kohen Gadol stood Ben Ulam the Mizbeach? It must be Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. He's the one who defines that as the northern side of the Mizbeach, and therefore the Seifa of that Mishnah that says that the Muchni was put in place so there'd be no Lina by the Kiyor must also be Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Shimon. To your question, why did they think it was Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Shimon? That's the reason. The Gemara says, Vitizbera Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Shimoni. Velo Rabbi. Wait a minute. If you go back and see, when it comes to Rabbi's opinion over here, Rabbi said, or Rabbi was Mosif. Hash Rabbi ad Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Mosif. Ad Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon lo Mosif. Wait a minute. The Rabbi, when he was adding on the area of the Makom Drisat Yisrael, Makom Drisat Kohanim, does that mean that he only added on these eastern part, all that stuff that was eastern of the Mizbeach, but the stuff between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, he did not add on, the western part of him he doesn't add on, says that doesn't make any sense. Why? Because what's the reason that each of the opinions states their part is the north? So according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, it makes sense that the north is opposite the Mizbeach. The requirement of Yerach HaMizbeach Tzafona says that anything to the north is of the Mizbeach. So you got to be exactly north of the Mizbeach. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon comes and adds on Ben Ulam the Mizbeach, says that area is just as Kadosh, and it's still to the north of Mizbeach. It also gets you closer to the Ulam, because you also have to be facing towards the Kodshei Kodashim, so that's okay. But I will not include the things that are east of the Mizbeach, because Makom Drisat Yisrael, Makom Drisat Kohanim has a lower Kedusha, so I will not add those areas in. Along comes Rabbi and says, even those areas of Makom Drisat Kohanim Yisrael are included, even though they're lower Kedusha. So if Rabbi adds in the areas of Drisat Yisrael and Drisat Kohanim, certainly he would add in Ben Olam, the Mizbeach. He would not be just adding to the east and not to the west. Why would he add something to lower Kedusha and not the area with the higher Kedusha? That doesn't make any sense. So that means whatever is encompassed in Rabbi's opinion, he encompasses everything in Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon's opinion. That means that it's Ben Olam, the Mizbeach. It could either be Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon or it could be Rabbi. So the Gemara says, that's what the Gemara is saying. If it is for Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, below Rabbi, Hashem Rabbi, after Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Mosif. He's adding on Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, not exactly opposite this back, but even east of it. But then, wouldn't he not, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Mosif? He's not going to add on to the Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon.
Well, the Mishnah, it looks like Rabbi is adding on to
Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, which is exactly what the Gemara wants. He includes Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and he's adding on beyond that. The Gemara is saying that Rabbi is not just responding to the opinion of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, but he's also responding to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Don't think that Rabbi is just coming to argue on
the original
opinion. Just like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon said af, and he meant he was responding to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Don't say Rabbi is saying af and responding to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Af is responding to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and adding on to him, because he says otherwise it doesn't make sense. Why should he add on to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda and not include the area of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon? It doesn't make so much sense because he's entering area of lower Kedusha. He certainly should add an area of a higher Kedusha. So Gemara says, this is what we meant. Anan hachi kamrina. Isa kadatcha Rabbi hi. If you think it's Rabbi, lukma b'makom tishad v'glei kohanim b'makom tishad v'glei Yisrael. If it's Rabbi, why don't they put the power of the Kohen Gadol out towards the east? Why are they specifically putting it between the Ulam and the Mizbeach? Elamai, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimoni. It must be Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Because according to Rabbi, you can put it anywhere along the northern side. So put it all the way over to the east. Why are you putting it all the way to the west? So that must be that it's Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimoni. Elamai, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimoni. So now the Gemara says, if that's the case, look, my Mikir Mizbeach Tzafonia Kol Talazara. Even according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Ben Ulam Mizbeach is kasher, but so is the area opposite the Mizbeach. So according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, why don't you put it in the area opposite the Mizbeach? Why are you specifically doing it Ben Ulam the Mizbeach? Elamai Yitachalam Eimar. Why is it Ben Ulam the Mizbeach for Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon? Mishom, Choshe the Kohen Gadol. Because you have the Kohen Gadol is fasting. He has to do all the avod on Yom Kippur. I mean, you don't want him to walk back and forth, back and forth, and back and forth. So we put in the area that's closest to the area that he needs to do the avodah. So they get it all the way as close as possible to the ulam, so that he has to walk the least amount of steps. He has to do the least amount of effort in order to take care of the situation. Well, if that's true of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Ochanami, according to Rabbi, true, you could have shechted all the way in the east, but why are they putting it in the west? By the ulam, ben ulam is backwards. Mishom, closer to the kohen gadol. So if that's the case, you have no proof for me that the Mishnah in Yoma is authored by Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon, and not Rabbi. Because even if you claim it's authored by Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon, because it's been a lemon zveach, Rabbi has the same opinion. And if you're going to tell me, oh, if it's Rabbi, why didn't he do it in another occasion? You could say the same thing about Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon. Why are you doing it ben olam mizbech? Do it opposite the mizbech. The fact that we're doing it over there has a specific reason. That reason is equally applicable to Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi. They want to get the minimize the work or the effort of the Kohen Gadol. So for both of them, it's ben olam mizbech. Both of them have that opinion. The only one who can have that opinion, the only one who can't say that is Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who says that's not kosher. So we know for sure he's not the author of the Mishnah. But the author of the Mishnah could either be Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon, or Rabbi. If that's the case, I have no proof that the Mishnah in Yoma is according to Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon, and therefore that whole instance of Muchni, or making sure that the water and the cure doesn't have puzzle belina, might have nothing to do with answering about Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon, whether it's puzzle belina, but maybe Rabbi's opinion, who says Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim is puzzle belina, so too the Mea Kior is puzzle belina. So we have no proof, no conclusion. And that is, it's inconclusive. When it comes to the opinion of Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon, who says that Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim is not Pasul Belina, we don't know the din with regards to the Mei Kior. So regards to the Mei Kior, it could be that it's Pasul Belina because it's B'Klisha 8 and the water is still there. Or maybe it's the same din as the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim and it's not Pasul Belina and we have no conclusion. We don't have any proof to that. Right now, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Kiddush Yadav Raglav L'Tshumat HaDeshin L'Machar Einu Tzarich L'Kadesh. Yochanan says if he does wash his hands and legs to do the Trumat Hadeshen. Now the Trumat Hadeshen was done at Krota Gever. It's done very early on in the morning. It's prior to dawn, prior to the beginning of the new day. So the machar, I mean, as you enter the next day, ain't zarech l'kadesh. You don't have to do another kiddush. Gvar kiddush mitchilat avodah. That's the beginning of the avodah on the mikdash of that day. You don't have to do another kiddush. Leman. Who is Rabbi Yochanan is saying this according to which Tana? Is this according to Rabbi or is this according to Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon? Ila Rabbi, according to Rabbi, Amar Pasul Belina. Rabbi says that once you cross over the dawn line, that is Pasul Belina. So over here that he did the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim for Trumat Hadeshen, it was before dawn. As soon as he crosses over the line of dawn, that should make him Pasul Belina again and he should have to wash again. Ila Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon, Amar Ein Tzarich LeKadesh. According to Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon, you don't have to do another Kiddush. If he's working at night, he could keep going straight through the day. He doesn't have to do a special Kiddush for the Trumat Hadeshen. He could have been washed when he began to vote that night. He can keep going. I feel mikan v'dasari yamim. Because Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon believes, once you've washed once in the Mikdash, you don't have Hesach Hadash, you can keep going forever. So why do you need to do any Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim at all? So now you have a machok, a Zabai, and Ravo, and each one's going to explain it to a different Tana. So Amar Abaye, the Olam L'Rabbi. Rabbi says, according to Rabbi. Velina derabbanan hi. So this is a very important statement that the whole din of lina is only a din derabbanan, and as the Rashi says, velina shetoel bekiddush. That lina, when it comes to kiddush yadayim raglayim, she'ena mayim bifanenu midrabbanan hu the gozabar shlo tizalzel belina. So it says that they don't want the kohanim to be mizalzel in lina, and therefore they were gozer lina on the yadayim, even though the water is not extant anymore; it's not in their hands. So technically. Technically, the Yadayim have no din and lina because the water dissipated, evaporated already. So there's no din and lina. The hands weren't mekudash in a kli sharet. They just had the water poured on them. That's the water that was kadesh be kli sharet, and that's gone now. So the Yadayim technically don't have. There is a din of lina midoraisa. Just when it comes to Yadayim, there is no din doraisa. That's a din derabonon. In order to be lo mezalzel ben lina. They don't want them to be mezalzel ben lina. So that's how Abai is going to explain this. Rabbi is of the opinion that it's only derabonon. Molde. To be quote the giver at Safalo Pasolina. That yes, in Hochanami, that lo teshachar is the cutoff for lina. But here, when it comes to avod and kiddush yadayim raglayim, the beginning of the avod and the mikdash is quote the giver by Trumat Hadeshen. Rabbi agrees. If he washed to begin avod and the mikdash, that's good enough. That person won't be mezalzel and lina. That's good enough to start the avodah and you won't have any problems. The washing has to be done specifically a kota gever from the time that they're doing the Trumat Hadeshen, and from that point onward it won't be pasul. But right, any time prior to that, then it would be problematic according to Rabbi. So that's Abaye's opinion. Rav Amar, Rav says, the Olam, Rav Elozer, Rabbi Shimon. The author of the opinion is really Rav Elozer, Rabbi Shimon. V'ra'a Rabbi Yochanan Dvarav, B'tchilat Avodah, V'lo B'sof Avodah. that Rabbi Yochanan agreed with Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, when it comes to the beginning of Avodah, but not Sof Avodah, which means that at night, if he was doing the Avodah for the previous day, Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't agree with Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, you have to wash again in the morning, because you're starting a new day, starting new Avodah. But once you've started the new Avodah, even if it's prior to Alot HaShachar, no problem, there is no problem of Lina anymore. So he has a chiluk, or distinction, within the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, which is that when it comes to night, you're right, the Yadayim are not possible Lina when it hits Alot HaShachar. But as long as you're working for stuff that's for the new day, if you're doing anything that relates to the previous day, then it will be possible Lina. So Gemara says, Meitavei, the Gemara brings a Mishnah from Masechet Tamid. Ra'u Echav HaKohanim, Shirat, Ve'ein Ratzu, Uba'u Mi'aru B'kitch Yadayim, V'regaleim Min HaKiyor. So Ra'uhu Echav HaKohanim says, they saw the first Kohen, who had done the Trumat HaDeshen up above on the Mizbeach. Trumat HaDeshen was a requirement to take a machta every day, and then scoop out from the coals that are machalot apnimiyot, bring them down and place them on the eastern side of the kevesh, the even side of the ramp of the Mizbeach, and they were nivle b'mekomo, that's one of the miracles of the Mikdash. So that was a requirement to be done every morning. So when he went to do the Trumat HaDeshen, he's on his way back down. When they saw he was already coming down, the rest of the Kohanim, who were going to do the Avoda, and who were going to do what we call Hotzat HaDeshen, they charge in, they run in, and they came to the Kiyor, and they were Mekadesh Yadayim Raglayim in a Kiyor. They washed their hands from the Kiyor. And after that, they then did what's called Hotzat HaDeshen. So if you look in Rashi, Rashi describes over here what they did at that point in time. That's a continuation, actually, of the Mishnah in Tamid, which is, Lotziat HaDeshen, Shemakom HaMaracha. These Kohanim were running in to take out the Deshen, the ashes on top of the Maracha, on top of the Mizbeach. All the salkolu tapuach shebeemtza mizbeach, or to gather it together into a pile on top of the mizbeach. So this actually happens to be subject to a machlokas rishonim. Rashi is the shitato. I brought you the makorot later on. You can look at them as a machlokas. It's Rambam, Raivad Rashi, and the rishonim about what exactly transpired over here. We'll give a brief description of it. Yeah, Trumat HaDeshen, which we described before. There is another avoda called Hotzat HaDeshen. That happens to be a machloket about what is exactly required in Hotzat HaDeshen. The other thing is this idea called the tapuach. The tapuach was, according to all the Rishonim except for the Raivut, the tapuach was that the Kohanim used to go onto the Mizbeach, and they used to push all the items that had been burnt overnight on the Mizbeach into a pile in the middle, a big ash pile or coal pile in the middle. That pile was called the tapuach. The raya that Rashi brings is Rashi the Shitato, and he brings it in a number of places in Shas and Yoma and other places, as well as in Chulin, that these rayas from our Gemara we just did in Avodah Zarah. In Avodah Zarah, talk about the press. When it came to the press, before you moved the press down on it, it said they used to pile the grapes with tapuach. That used to be piled up in a big pile in the middle, and then they used to bring the press down on it. So that's what Rashi brings. That's the tapuach here. The Raivot disagrees and says that the tapuach was actually part of the Mizbeach itself. It was a stone part of the Mizbeach. The last Amah of the Mizbeach was a circular area in the center of the Mizbeach that was lifted up an Amah, and on that's where the ashes were burnt. That's where the Marocha was. It's according to the Raivot. Now, according to Rashi, you see here, Rashi says the Kohanim went up there to do one of two Avodot. Either they went in to go make the pile of ashes in the middle of the tapuach, or to take the deshen out. That's Rashi of the Shitato, that what do you do in Hotzat HaDeshen? By Hotzat HaDeshen, you pile it up in the middle, and when the pile becomes too big, you take it out. Hotzat HaDeshen was not an avodah that was done every day in the Mikdash, but rather only when necessary, it was taken out. Out means out of Yerushalayim, to the outskirts of Yerushalayim, where it's put on the Makom HaDeshen, which was way outside of Yerushalayim, outside the Shlosh Machanot. So that's Rashi's opinion. The Rambam in Mishneh Torah disagrees and says no, that the Hotzat HaDeshen took place every day. They took the ashes off the Mizbeach, and the Rambam actually says that they used to take it off the Mizbeach and then bring it down to the area next to the Mizbeach, and then from there they took it out of Yerushalayim. But the Rambam believes that they did the Hotzat HaDeshen every single day. And it seems that the Raivad also agrees with the Rambam that it was done every day. The Hotzat HaDeshen was done every day. Now, according to the Rambam, that the Hotzat HaDeshen is done every day, you run into problems, because that Mishnah in Tamid continues and says that on Yom Tov, they used to leave the pile up, and it got as big as 300 kurim to show it was a noy lamizbeach to have the tapuach there. Well, if they were cleaning off the tapuach every day, then how did they get it so big if it wasn't piling up or accumulating? So there are a number of answers given by the Lechem Mishneh, by the Mishnah Lamelech, and others for the Rambam. The one that makes the most sense is in the Mishnah Lamelech, which says that the Rambam believes that they did the outside edition every day, but not that it was a mitzvah to do it every day. It was a practical consideration. They used to clear off the Mizbeach every day because that was a nice thing to do. It made it look clean and neat, and they did it every single day. But not that it was required. It wasn't a mitzvah to do it every day. So during the Yom Tovim, during the Regalim, they suspended it. So they left it and they let it pile up because it's not a mitzvah to do it every day. It's just that's what they did every day. So that would be the explanation for the Rambam to get around that problem. But here you have, again, two different machlokot. One about the tapuach, which is what is the tapuach? All the Rishonim, including the Rambam, believe it was the pile of ashes, coals in the middle of the Mizbeach that was pushed together by the Kohanim. The Rambam believes it's a part of the circular part of the Mizbeach that actually stood there where the Maruch was on. The other machlok is about whether Hotzad Adeshin took place only when necessary. That's the opinion of Rashi and Tosafot. As opposed to the other Rishonim, the Rambam and the Raivad, who believe that Hotzad Adeshin was done every day. Whether it was a mitzvah or a requirement every day from the Raivad, it seems yes. According to the Rambam, it's not clear, and the Mishnah Lamelech wants to say that from the Rambam, he can be a medayik, that it wasn't a mitzvah that was done every day. So what do you see from here? The Gemara brought this down to tell us about what? This Hotzad Adeshin, these Kohanim ran in and they washed their hands. But when are they washing their hands? They're also washing their hands prior to Alot HaShachar. So Bishlam Alot Abaye, according to Abaye, makes sense. The Mukim Laka Rabbi. He holds like Rabbi. Omod Rabbi, Mikoto Gever, at Safar Lo Pasolina. According to Abaye's learning in Rabbi, Rabbi basically extended four Kiddush Yedayim Raglayim, Lina, the Kara for Lina, is Kota Gever. As opposed to being Alot HaShachar for anything else in the Mikdash, for Yedayim Raglayim, it has to do with Kota Gever.
Well, what's the case of it? Washing your hands a second time in the
morning? It's the second set of Kohanim. Not that just the Kohen is doing the Trumat HaDeshen, but the other Kohanim who are now entering in to do the Chutzat HaDeshen. These new Kohanim do their Kiddush Yedayim for Raglayim for the first time. But it's immediately after Trumat HaDeshen, which is that Kota Gever, before Alot HaShachar. So according to Abai, I can solve that problem, say that that's the opinion of that once is enough if you do it after Kota Gever. That's what he said, according to Rabbi Yochanan. If you do have a cutoff for Lina of Kiddush Yedayim Raglayim, is Kota Gever, according to him. Therefore, Hamani, who's the author of this? Rabbi he. He's the author of this Mishnah and Tamid. Elo Barova, the Mukilak Rav Lazar Rabbi Shimon, who established that the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan is Rav Lazar Rabbi Shimon. Avala Rabbi mi Kota Gever at Safra Paslo. Then from Kota Gever until Alot HaShachar would be Pasul Lina. Hamani, who's the author of this Mishnah and Tamid? E Rabbi Pasul Lina. According to Avrova, Rabbi thinks that the Kara for Lina is Alot HaShachar. So why are they washing before? E Rabbi Zer Rishon, Amar Afil Mikan Vaser Yamim, Minot Tzarich L'Kadesh. So what do you mean? Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon doesn't require any Kiddush. The Olam Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, V'Ochel Ma'iskin, V'Konei Chadate. Dealing with new Kohanim. Not literally new Kohanim, but the new crew was coming in. I mean, they didn't work the night shift. They were the morning shift. This was their first time coming to the Avodah, so they had to wash. So going to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, if they washed by Kota Gever, no problem. They can continue working the Mikdash. Going to Rabbi, they would have to wash again after Alot HaShachar. So it doesn't make sense that they would have run in to start before Alot HaShachar. They're going to have to wash twice then. Yibai Elohu. Right now asks, Yitzia Mahu. Shetoyel B'kiddush Yedayim V'Raglayim. Going out of the Mikdash, how does that affect Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim? So the Gemara says, Imtim Salomar, if we're talking about over here, Lina Lo Pasla De Lo Parish, Ava, when it comes to Lina, when it comes to being overnight, and it continues during the Avodah, or if he's continuing doing the Avodah during the day, there it's not a problem of Lina, because he's continuously doing the Avodah, because he never left the Mikdash. Aval Yitzir, the Parish, but Yitzir, where he leaves the Mikdash, Asuche Mesech Date. He's Mesech Dat, and when you're Mesech Dat, you need to wash again. O Dilma, Kemedi Adolach Zor, or since, no, because he knows he can return, and he has in mind to return, then Lo Mesech, he won't let his mind wander from this. He'll make sure that his hands stay without Hesech Dat, to make sure that he's careful about that, and therefore he will not require a new Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim once he re-enters into the Mikdash. So the question is, how do we relate to this Yitziyah, going outside of the Azarah? When we go out of the Azarah, is that considered like a demarcation line which says automatically you need a Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim? Or no, maybe it's subject to the same requirements which is Hesech Adat. The requirement for new washing has to do whether you're Mesiach Dat or not. If you're not Mesiach Dat, even if you go outside the Azarah, you'll be fine and you won't have to wash again. So Tashma, so let's say what we have this case. Kiddush Yadayim Raglav V'nitme'u. He washed his hands, and then they became tabei. Matbilan. He puts them into the mikveh, and he's okay. Ve'en tzarech l'kadesh. And he doesn't have to do a new kiddush yadayim raglayim. Yatz'u. But if he just went out, harihen b'kiddush yadayim. If he goes out, then they remain there b'kedushatan. So you see here that when it comes to tum'ah, when it's kiddush yadayim, when it comes to tum'ah on his hands, and we're here, we're talking about tum'ah yadayim, something that doesn't affect his whole goof, something that's only a tum'ah d'rabbanan, that is only mitame the yadayim, but not the whole goof. Examples of that are in the end, the last parak in Psachim. In the last parak in Psachim, it says that the chachamim goes there on pigul and on notar, that they'd be mitame yadayim of the kohanim, because they didn't want them to be mitatzel. They didn't want them to be lazy when it came to dealing with notar and not to make things pigul. So if his hands became tame from touching notar or pigul, then he has to dip them in the mikveh, and that's all he has to do. He doesn't do another kiddush. Yatzu. If he went outside, put his hands outside the mikdash, then Ariyan Bikdushatan, he went outside, everything remains fine. So there's the answer here. The answer is, wait, Yatsu, if they went out, they remain Kadosh. So Mara says, wait, you misunderstood. Yatsu Yadav lo kami bailan. We're not asking about when his hands go out. It's when his whole body went out. So over here, what the Mara is saying is that over here we're talking about the hands themselves. How do I know that? Because the first part of this writer that we just quoted said, Kiddush Yadav raglav nitmu. What's nitmu here? It's not his whole goof that became tameh. It's just as Yadayim became tameh. Then he puts him into the mikveh, their tahor. So too, the second half of this writer, when it says, Yatsu, they went out, it doesn't mean he went out. It just means his hands went out of the Azara. He stuck his hands outside the Azara. So there, the Gemara says, I agree with you. If his hands are stuck outside the Azara, they still remain Kadosh because his body is inside. My question is, if he walks entirely out of the Azara, does that affect his hands or not? My, what's the din? So Gemara says, Tashma. Let's try it again. We have a Tosefta. Shlo rechutz yadayim raglayim mikadesh b'kli sharet bifnim. Someone doesn't wash their hands yet. They have to go into the Azara, to the Kior, and then they wash their hands inside. Kidesh b'kli sharet b'chut. If he uses a kli sharet outside the Azara to do it, or he uses a kli chol, a utensil that is not designated for the mikdash inside the Azara to wash with, or he dipped his hands into a mikvah, he does a voda, his avoda is psula. We saw before, right, that's from our Mishnah, that someone who does not have yichutz yadayim raglayim, proper yichutz yadayim raglayim, he is mechalel the avoda. So in these three instances, he failed to do proper washing of his hands. He either did it outside the mikdash, or he did it inside the mikdash with a kli chol, or he did it by dipping it into mei marah, dip it into the mikveh. None of those work for kiddush yadayim raglayim. So taima the kiddush b'kli sharet b'chutz. The problem is that he used the kli sharet outside. Ha kiddush b'fnim, but had he done the washing inside, v'yotza, and then he had gone out, avrotak shira, then it would be fine. That's the Gemara's the inference from this Tosefta. The Tosefta only says it's problematic if he washes outside with the kli sharet. But if he washed inside and then went out, sounds like he'd be just fine. So what's the case of kli sharet b'chutz echidami? Kugon da'apik yabav the bar v'kiddush, that he stuck his hands out of the azara and then he did the kiddush yadayim raglayim outside. So he had a kli sharet, his body is inside the azara, and he's washing his hands outside the azara with a kli sharet. So that's the case over here. Aval yatzako gufo tibayilach. But if his whole body went out, then you still have a question. Because why did the Gemara set up the Tosefta in that way? If it sets up the Tosefta in that way, then your diok doesn't work. If I set up the Tosefta when he's washing his hands outside, it doesn't mean he took his whole body out and washed outside. That's pasul. No, it's a case where he was in the azara, he put his hands outside, and then washed with a kli sharet. There, the Gemara says pasulah. So the only thing I can infer from that is, if he was inside, he washed inside bifnim, and then stuck his hands out, they're still fine. But I have no answer as to what happens with the goof. So the Gemara says, you don't know what that case is of Yatzachutz, when he did it outside. The Kiddush with Kli Sharet B'chutz, you don't know if that means he went entirely out, or if he just went out with his hands. If I said he just went out with his hands, your deal doesn't work, and then I don't have an answer to my question. Amalei Rav Zvi L'Rav Papa, Toshma, I have another proof. Yotzo chutz l'mechitzat chomat azara. He went outside the wall of the azara. Im l'shahot, if he's going to stay, ta'un tvila. If he went out for a period of time, he needs a new tvila. Im l'fishah, if he only goes out temporarily, ta'un kiddush yadayim raglayim. He has to wash his hands. So what do you see? If you go out temporarily, you have to wash your hands. No qualifications about hesechadad, no hesechadad. You walk out temporarily, you gotta wash your dayim. Amalei achol ma'eskina, kon shiotzo l'hesech raglav l'atil mayim. Wait a minute, that's not good. That, he went out in that case. That bright is talking about a case where he went out to either to defecate or to urinate. My says, how bad you're telling you that? We have an explicit Mishnah for that. Kol ha-mesech raglav, anybody who defecates, don't tefillah, has to go to the mikveh. Kol ha-matil mayim, anybody who urinates, don't kiddush yadayim raglayim. So Tani, v'hadar mefarish. No, the earlier part was giving you a general principle, this idea that he went out, and later on it explains to you what does it mean. Why is it that when you go outside on the chutz, you have to wash, depending on how much time you spend out there? What are you going out? You're going out to go to the bathroom, take care of your needs. So the amount of time you spend out there is related to what you're doing in the bathroom. And therefore, the mission is coming to explain afterwards what exactly it is that's driving you to be out. So from there, we have no proof. Because over there's something besides going out of the Azara that's causing the problem. The problem is either he's urinating or he's defecating. That's why he has to do the Kiddush HaDayim L'Ayim. What we don't know is if he didn't urinate, what would be his status? So Tashma, let's try this other. Para, comes to the Para Aduma. Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef Amar Kaddish Mekli Sharei Bifnim. That he goes ahead inside the Migdash, inside the Azara, he washes Yadayim, V'yotzei, and then he goes out to do the Avoda. Yochanan Amar Afilu B'chutz, he can do the washing outside. V'afilu B'kli Chol, he can even do it out, doesn't have any clear Sharei to wash his hands. V'afilu Mikida Shocheres, he can even use some pot of pottery pot or clay utensil, anything. So Amra Papa, wait, so what are you going to prove from here? You're going to prove from here that he went out. He washed inside Bifnim, according to Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, he washed inside the Azara, and then he goes out to do the Avoda. So wait, if he went out and it's Pasul, and the Kiddush HaLayim doesn't count anymore, then why bother to wash inside and then go out? It doesn't do anything. As soon as you go out, you're going to have a problem again. So going to say, Amra Papa, Shani Para. You're talking about Para Duma. Ho v'chol maseh v'chutz lo pasla ba'yitzia. Oh, the whole idea, Para Duma is done on the Har HaMishkoz, Adon Har HaZeitim. So the whole avoda is downside the Mikdash. So therefore, when you go do the Kiddush HaDayim L'Ayim inside and walk out, of course your hands aren't pasul or aren't problematic, because that's what you're supposed to do. That's where the avoda is. But if you're going to come back into the Mikdash, I don't know what the din would be. Well, if it's all done outside the Mikdash, then what does Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef require you to wash inside the Azara and then go out? Where it says, because ain't avodah d'pnim. True, it's done outside, but it has a din. It's called a chatat. It still has a din like avodat pnim. So it requires certain kedusha to be associated with it. That means kiddush adam glaim inside. But it also doesn't have its highest standard, which is because it's done in bechutz. Therefore, when you walk out of the Azara, maybe that would be a good enough washing for that. But if you return to the Azara, maybe you'd have to wash again. Aibailuhu. Tuma, ma shetoil the kiddush yadayim raglam laim. How does Tuma, what impact does Tuma have on the kiddush yadayim raglam? Now here we're talking about Tumata guf. Imtim salomar yitzia lo pasla, the gabra chazi. Maybe you will say when he goes out of the Mikdash, that doesn't ruin his Kiddush HaDayim L'Ayim because he's still ra'oi to do avoda. And since he's ra'oi to do avoda, he will not be mesiach dat. He'll say, I'm coming back. I'm going to do the avoda. The gabra lo chazi, over here, when he became fully tamei, the kohen says, you know what, I can't do any avoda until I get tahor again. So maybe at that point he's mesiach dat, he forgets about his washing, and then he'll have to wash again. So chazi, asuch mesiach dat, he'll do came into hodor chazi. Or maybe you'll think, I'll go to the mikveh when the sun sets, I'll be able to do avoda again, so I'm not going to be mesiach dat. So then, he intentionally stays focused on the avoda, or focused on not being mesiach dat from his hands, and he'll go back in. So tashma, so let's say, kiddush yadav ragalav v'nitme'u matbilan. That was the break that we brought before, that he begins and feet became tamei. He's matbil, v'etzarech l'kadesh, and he doesn't have to do another kiddush yadav ragalav. It says, Nitmu Yadav Lomi Bailan. We're not asking about when his hands became Tamei. Remember before, we explained that Breitha was talking about a case where it was only Tumat Yadayim, not Tumat Kol HaGuf. There it was Tumat Yadayim, it was Gzeira D'Rabbanan on certain items that make Tumat Yadayim, but don't affect the whole Guf. So over there, when you say Tumat Yadayim, I agree with you. You don't need to do a new Kiddush. What I'm talking about, Ki Bailan, Nimtma Kol Gufo. I'm not in a case where his whole body became Tamei, and therefore he's going to have to go to the mikveh. Kol gufo typically came into boil the meyavar harav shemes asuchim esek date. Wait a minute, if he has to go to the mikveh, fine. He's not tohor right away. After he goes to the mikveh, he has to wait for the sun to set that day. That's a long duration. So of course he's going to be mesiach dat between the time he goes to the mikveh and then he has to wait for sunset. And he'll have to do a new kiddush yadayim raglayim. Where it says no, going to itmei samach l'shkiyat hachama became tamei very close to sunset. Became tamei very close to sunset. He did kiddush yadayim raglayim. He's in the mikdash. Then he became tamei close to sunset. He runs out, goes to the mikveh, and then as soon as the sun sets, he'll be tahor. Minutes later, he'll be tahor. So there isn't a big duration between the time he became tamei and he'll be tahor and come back to the avoda. So maybe in that instance, he has in mind, he won't be mesiach dat. He knows if he gets to the mikveh and the sun sets, he'll be able to come back and work in the kodesh, and he won't be mesiach dat from that fact. And then he can come back and do the avoda. So again, the Gemara says we have no proof from that about what the din will be. Tashma, try to prove. Parah. in case of the para duma, Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Mekadesh, Rabbi Shereb, Bifnim, Biyotzei, Rabbi Yochanan, Afilu Bechutz, Afilu Bechli Chov, Afilu Mekeda Shel Cheres. So again, the machlok is about para duma, where you have to wash inside the Azara with Kli Shereb and then go out, Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Yosef's opinion, or according to Rabbi Yochanan, his opinion is that you can do it outside. All the washing can be done inside. There's no requirement of washing inside. Vaha para de tmuye matminin lei. Wait, when it comes to the Kohen who does the avoda by the paraduma, we purposefully are bimetamehim. This is a din etvoyom. There was a machlokes between the chachamim and the tzdukim as to whether the paraduma could be done with someone who was tamei etvoyom. Chachamim say yes, the tzdukim say no. So the chachamim, when they used to do the paraduma, they used to be metamei the Kohen who was doing the paraduma. Used to be metameh him intentionally, have him go to the mikveh, and then it would be tameh tful yom. And then do the work on the avodah to show that the tzdukim, we don't agree with you. That even someone who's tameh tful yom can do avodah on the parah. But what do you see from this? The person who's going to go wash, he's going to wash inside the azara, then come out to work with the parah duma, and then we're going to be metameh him on purpose. So now he's tameh, he's going to the mikveh, and he'll be a tful yom. So what's his status now? Is he mesiach date or not? Well, obviously he's not mesiach date, otherwise why did he bother to wash inside the azara to come do the avodah of the parah? So here we say that even though he became tameh, nevertheless he's still considered to be good with his kiddush yadayim reglayim. So Gemara says, "Va parah do tumei tamei lei detzran." We have the Mishnah in parah. Metamim ayu akohen asarif et haparah. They used to be metamei, the kohen was doing the parah. Umatbilin oto, and they put him in the mikveh, so it'll be a tvul yom. Lotzi mi liban shel tzdukim. To be a demonstration against the tzdukim, she'omrim b'murei shemesh haita nasit. That they say the sun has to set before he can do the paraduma. Shma mina lo pasla ba tuma. So you can see that the tuma is not posel it because he became tamei and he still is kiddush adam reglayim that he did in the azara, still good. Gemara says shani paro o the tvul yom lo pasul ba. Anyway, paraduma is a totally different story. A tvul yom is not pasul ba. So then maybe then the tuma also won't affect your kiddush adam reglayim. But in another case of a korban where tvul yom is problematic, maybe you would say by the kiddush adam reglayim it also eliminates and you have to redo those. So then why do I have to do kiddush at all? If it's it can be tamei b'tvul yom, it's done outside, then why bother to do kiddush adam at all? So Mar says again, ke'in avoda b'inan. You have to do ke'in avoda, it's probably ke'in avodat pnim. That again, it has to be like an avoda, it's ke'in avodat pnim. Since it's like an avoda, it's like avodat pnim, therefore he still washes inside the azara with a proper kiddush, and then he goes out to do the avoda by the parah aduma. But now, from that, we can't bring any proof because the whole avodah is done b'chutz, number one, and number two, it's done by a tvul yom. So I can't prove anything about yitziyah, and I can't prove anything about tumah because both of them are permissible by the parah aduma. Since they're permissible, maybe they don't affect kiddush yadayim reglayim. By other karbanot, by other avodah, where it's not permissible to do outside the mikdash, and it's not permissible by a tvul yom, maybe both tumah would affect your kiddush yadayim reglayim, and yitziyah would affect it, and we don't have an answer about that. We don't know. We haven't answered our query, or both queries that we had until this point in time, which is, how does Yitziyah affect Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim? And how does Tumah Aguf, Tumah Aguf affect Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim? Okay, we'll stop over here.